Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with Mother we went, and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
What joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church.
Well, praise the Lord. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we open your word, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us. Father, to give us guidance and a greater understanding of this, your word. Take us into the depths of it, Heavenly Father, so that we can share with others that are hungry for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we know that we have those out there that know that they are in need of something greater than themselves. They just don't know what. Help us to reach them with the Holy Spirit, Father, and bring them closer unto the Lord Jesus Christ and unto you. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I was expecting a few more to be here this morning. So, last night as I was praying, I thought about something that would be a little different for change. And I picked the 5th chapter of Matthew, Sermon on the Mount. Because so much of that we forget. We forget to use, mankind does. Those that are filled with the Holy Spirit don't forget it. But those that are in the world out here, even though they'll go to church, they don't really hear what the Word is telling them. All right. Let's get in here now, this first verse of the 5th chapter. It says, "And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt had lost its savor, what wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I'm going to read a couple more verses and we're going to stop and back up and take a little better look at this, a little deeper look. Because don't think we're going to get all the way through this morning anyway. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. And now may the Holy Spirit come forth and take us a little deeper into this so we can really understand what Jesus is teaching his disciples. Because you see, not only was he teaching the disciples of his day and time that were walking with him, but it's been recorded so you and I would have the same, because we are his disciples today. And he's always with us. We're never by ourselves. If we are a child of God, we're not alone. He's always right there, he and the Holy Spirit and the Father, all three, is right there with us. Because, you know, we talk about the kingdom here in these verses, and we have the kingdom of God within us. And yet, there's also the kingdom of God that is still to come. But we have it here on earth with us right now. There's still more coming. Now, that first verse says, and seeing the multitude, he went up to a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth, taught them, saying. Now you see, this opening verse of the Sermon on the Mount gives us and indicates that this message deals with the inner state of the mind and of the heart. Think about that. And that is the indispensable absolute of the true Christian believing. We're finding out just how much there is of it that we need in our lives every day. You know, It also tells us about our discipleship in this day and time. And it delineates an outward manifestation of our character. Think about that. Because you see, we are seen not only by mankind, but we are seen by Almighty God Himself. And it's how, not only walking in the Word, but how we walk in the Word. You can be walking in some parts of the Word of God and yet not be right because of the way you're walking, your attitude as you go through it. That attitude gets you in a lot of trouble. In fact, it can get you in a whole lot of trouble. Not just a little bit, but a whole lot. But you know, it says that the life of the believer that's described by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is a life of grace and glory. Grace and glory. And we get both from God. It's not something we get on our own. It is a gift that is given to you and I to help us along the way and to help restore things that we do overlook, things that we have kind of pushed aside, and you know, the Holy Spirit is there to help us and to give us the guidance we need in order to be able to live the lifestyle of that believer and walk in these blessings that are given to us. The first blessing that we are told about here in this says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit. Think about that for a moment. Those that are walking, but they are walking weakly. In weakness. And not actually walking in the fullness of the Word of Almighty God. And yet, they won't turn the Lord Jesus Christ loose. They're going to stay right there with Him. And God says, we'll be blessed. You know, Satan really has no power. He deceives, but he has no power. And he sure don't have enough power to stand against the Lord Jesus Christ. But he'll come along and he finds a way into your mind and he'll attempt you because he does know what your weakness is. And that's exactly where he's going to try to come through, is that weakness. And I'll tell you what, some mankind out here, we've got some terrible weaknesses. Sexual weaknesses. And as sure as you're walking with a sexual weakness, you can bet Satan's going to come in and he's going to tempt you in so many different ways that most won't make it through the temptation. Only those that are actually God's children will make it. And a lot of them today is not making it. And you know, the church world, not the church, the church belongs to him, but the church world that we have out here today has accepted so many things that they should never have let in the door, let alone accepted. People today think nothing about people living together without marriage. No thought whatsoever about it. To them, it's all right. It's not all right in the eyes of God. And, you know, the more you study God's word, and the more that he gives you, the more we're seeing what is happening to our world out here. And we know that it can't be long until the Lord is coming for his church. And when he does, this world then will not be having any teaching of the truth of Almighty God. Very little. There'll be a little going on. We know that. Because there are going to be a few that will stand even though they've been left behind. They have seen what not being like they should have been is costing them. And we know that there's 144,000 of them that's going to make it through the tribulation period of time. We know that that'll be all Jews. The word tells us so. 12,000 from each tribe. But they will still be a little here. But then, too, we know that in the last of the tribulation days, God's going to send two back this earth. He's going to send two witnesses. It's going to be persecuted, killed, and left laying in the streets. What is mankind really thinking about? They're not. They're not thinking about that. Just like they're not thinking really about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. For us. You know, we can never give up trying to get our family through and to the Lord Jesus Christ. When they become grown, we can't force them into anything. While they're still at home, we can see that they go to church. But once they get grown and get out away from us, there's nothing we can really do about it. We can talk to them, yes. Talk to them all the time. But I've got them. It's just as lost as they can be. And we shed many tears over them. Many tears we shed over them. Because even though they won't make it, they're also helping others not make it. Because others that they are around are living just like them, instead of belonging to the Lord and helping out. They're not. I've got one son that's living in adultery. He's got two wives and a bunch of kids. And now his children are old enough that they're following in many, many ways my mom and dad's living. Now I've got one son that's living in fornication. He's living with his without being married. And thank God he doesn't have any children to lead astray. Because you see, children will pick up on how you live. I have a daughter who told me not too long ago, Dad, I don't go to church because when I was at home, you made me go. Yeah, I did. Now she's older and got a family of her own. And won't go to church. Had adopted children. Adopted four. Not a one of them in church. Not a one. They don't know how many hours and all they call us dad and grandpa, forehead and tears. Got one, moved in with her boyfriend a year and a half. They finally did get married. They still don't go to church, and they still don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The other one has had two children out of wedlock. Because they wasn't taught the right way. They had no chance at all. See, that's what happens. When we don't raise them in the right way, they have no chance at all. And their blood will be on our hands. But I can thank God for one thing. Mine, their blood won't be on my hands, because they were raised until they left home in the church and in God's Word. It was after they left home when they went and started going the ways of the world. Now, verse 4 he says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. They that mourn. You know, why would you mourn? You mourn over things that's not right, that hurts. But he also tells us that if we are his, when although, just as I was telling you about nine that are lost, mourn a whole lot about them. But it says, for they shall be comforted. I can still rejoice and carry joy in my heart because I have the Lord Jesus Christ in me. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You know, that meek means to be happy. Blessed also means to be happy. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And you see, that meek that will end up being blessed shall one day inherit the earth. These are things we forget about. And we forget to put these things on and walk in them, doing all we can to reach all that we come in contact with. Verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Because today, most are not looking for righteousness. They're looking for everything this world out here has got to offer. They're not looking at righteousness at all. But when the Lord comes and takes his church out of this world, then they are going to find out that a lot of things are going to be coming their way that they absolutely want no part of. It'll be too late. And those that, you know, that they now hunger and thirst after righteousness, my Bible tells me, says, they experience a deep desire for personal righteousness, which in itself is a proof of their spiritual rebirth. Been born again. That rebirth. And those who are poor and empty in their own spiritual poverty recognize the depth of their need, and they hunger and thirst for that which only God can give them, and they shall be filled if they really search for it. But they have to really be searching, and they have to be hungry for it. It's something you've really got to want. And we all have to live a complete, dedicated life unto God. So many of us don't. It's the only way we're going to make heaven our home. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Oh boy. To obtain mercy. And that has a reference to those who have been born again by the mercy of God, and because divine love has been extended to them, they have the work of the Holy Spirit in them, producing a mercy that defies explanation. Think about walking that way. Think about how it would be to walk that way. And if you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and you walk with the Holy Spirit, you can walk just exactly that way. But you can receive all these blessings that we're going over here. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure in heart. A life that is living without sin. a life that is studying God's word, a life that is spending time in prayer, talking and listening, talking to God and listening for him to speak to them. Because he will. He will talk to us if we give him time. And sometimes he'll talk to us when we're least expecting it. And he'll still talk with us. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. We're all to be peacemakers. We can be. You know, that peacemaker. Those that are at peace with God. Those are the ones that can be a peacemaker out here in this world. So they first have to have peace with God, and they have to desire to live in peace with all men. As much as possible. There is times, and there are those out there that we can't live that way with because they will not let it happen. Regardless how good you are to them, they're not going to accept it. But you still have to be good to them. You've got to show your peace, but they're not going to show theirs back to you. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We're beginning to find out here and hear this kingdom of heaven. So we have to walk in righteousness. And that righteousness means that we have to walk in this word and by this word, bringing it into our lives and bringing it to life. Verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And they will do it. The stronger you will walk in the Lord Jesus Christ, the more of this world that will come against you. And they'll come against you by lying to you, lying about you, and accusing you of false things, and spreading rumors and gossips about you that are false. But we have to keep right on loving them, praying for them, praying that the Holy Spirit can work with them, turn them around, and bring them back to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Now, and they're doing it because, as the scripture tells us, we're walking with Jesus. He said they're doing it for his sake. Just because we're walking with him. 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And they not only persecuted the prophets, look what they done to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself. Really, if not for the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, it would have been hard for him to have made it through life as long as he did. They threw everything at him they could throw. But yet, as he hung there on that cross, he looked up and he asked the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they didn't really know what they were doing or realizing. And, you know, it kind of leaves us to wonder sometimes, if they had known, would they have went on and crucified him? But that's why he wouldn't put up a defense for himself, because that he came here for that purpose. 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if that salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, be trodden under foot of men. So, you know, that goes with our character, how we are living our life, because we are here to bring some things on the earth that can only be brought by genuinely born again children of God. That is needed for the churches to grow, for the churches to be right in the word, and to be able to share Jesus and the gospel with those out here in the world. We're told that if we're not walking that way, then we've lost. We've lost that gift. As he put it, we lost flavor. And we're really not good for nothing. When he tells us, be cast out. 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We are not to hide. We are to be out, be seen, be heard, and all for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not to sit at home, do nothing. We're not to hide out at work and not share the word of God with those around us. We are to share this word wherever we are. It says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. We are to be seen. That Jesus in us can be seen. We're not to be seen for ourselves and in self-pride. We're to be seen so that mankind can see Jesus in us and want what we have. And in that way, we can be of help to them. If we don't reach them that way, we'll never help them. With this next one, we're going to close. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light shine. Make sure that what we have of the Lord our God and the Lord Jesus Christ is seen by mankind, and that they see even our good works It's not wrong to let them see the good works that we do, but it's the attitude in which we let them see it. If we let them see it to build us up, then we're wrong. But we let them see our good works to build up the Lord Jesus Christ and let them begin to want him and what we have. And glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That's why we do good works. We don't do good works to get to heaven and to have righteousness. We do good works because we already have it. That's what brings it about. You don't find too many in this world out here that's carrying the world around with them that's willing to do any good works. They'll laugh at you. They'll mock you. All right. Remember, that God willing, we can come together this evening. We'll finish up with this Sermon on the Mount and see what else God will have for us. We can be together at 6 p.m. Eastern Time this evening. And I pray that there's more with us, and that all can be back. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we shut your word, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we do thank you for a place and a time that we can come together to share your word. And Father, the saints, wherever they are in the world, may the Holy Spirit keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them. But Father, even more than that, we pray that all of Israel will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and walk in and with thy grace, Father, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. This land of ours, Father, we're praying that this land will see the error of its way and the sin and the awful evil it has brought upon its own people, and will turn and repent of all that evil and work with us to remove from office those that are against you, against your people, and against your church, and to replace them, Father, with ones that will work with us, work for you, work for your church, work with us, and help us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was established, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for our prayer list, as each name is called, I pray that the Holy Spirit, Father, will touch each one and will fill whatever need they have, whether that need be physical, spiritual, or financial. Dennis Lee, Terry Coates, Kenny Powers, Millie Bobby Johnson, James Taylor, myself, this community, Father, those that live near this church. Help us, Father, to be of help to them. Mark Pavlik, Amy, Tom, Jacob, Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, brothers in Christ, Aaron Brandenburg, Pastor Smalls, the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson. Father, Randy's lost everything since he moved. But that church he moved from, Father, the Church of God of Brandenburg, in the Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, these churches make them not only lighthouses, but places of refuge filled with the Holy Spirit. And fill the pastors to these churches, Father, overflowing with the Holy Spirit, so that not only your word is going forth, but that mankind is being able to see your power at work, to know that you have not changed, Father, as a lot are claiming, that you are the same, and that your word does not change. Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, that little Full Gospel Church of God there at Akron. My three pastor friends from Pakistan, Father, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron. Father, keep them safe. Keep them in health and see to their needs. For Jimmy Emery, Sharon Monville and her mother, for Sue and David Branson, Valence Goodman, Kelly Smith and his wife, and for Karen Lee, Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch. Some, Father, are standing in need of spiritual healing. Some are standing in physical need. Touch them, Father, great and mighty ways. Touch them as you touch me, Father, with the healing hand of Jesus. Be with us now, Father, throughout this day. Keep us all safe. Bring us back together again at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And, Father, I pray that there be a few more here. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh. Now I got to go to Brandenburg. I'm going to try to see my better half today. I haven't been able to see him.